You want to make mom smile this Mother's Day? You can start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brands she loves, delivered the very same day with DoorDash. Wow, that's a great idea. Moms are such a gift to us, and we should treat them the same way, with gifts, especially on Mother's Day. I didn't know DoorDash was doing that. That's exceptional. If your mom has a sweet tooth, or if she's a tech enthusiast, beauty connoisseur, if she's outdoorsy, no matter what she's into, you can make her smile with a fruit or flower bouquet, makeup, tech gear, workout wear, and more, all deliverable through DoorDash. Get all your Mother's Day gifts all in one place and get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 or more on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with code THEO. That's T-H-E-O. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. What would you do if you didn't have high interest loans or credit card debt? What would you do? Think about it. Maybe get your children a new teeter totter. Get your wife something. Upgrade them tits on your husband or your wife. You might. You might get your uncle a new limb. Well, find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/THEO. That's right. Upstart knows you're more than just your credit score. So their model considers other factors like your income, employment, and other information. You can get a loan from $1,000 to $50,000. That's upstart.com/THEO. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts to be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/THEO. I want to tell you about hop water. It's a non-alcoholic sparkling hop water crafted with functional ingredients for adding mood-boosting benefits. You want to drink at the end of the day that's actually going to refresh you and invigorate you? That's hop water. To get our offer and support the podcast, go to hopwtr.com. That's hopwater.com. Use my promo code THEO to get 20% off plus free shipping. Don't wait. This offer won't last long. Go to hopwater.com, hopwtr.com, and use promo code THEO. Today's guest is the first Mexican born fighter to win a UFC championship. He's a warrior. And I'm inspired anytime I get to sit down with any of these fighters. I just feel inspired. As I'm sure a lot of you guys do. Today's guest is out of the flyweight division. He's the pride of Tijuana, Mexico. And I'm very grateful for his time. He is beloved, and I'm going to get to know him a little bit better. Mr. Brandon Moreno. For me to set that parking brake and let myself on wild. Shine that light on me. I'll sit and tell you. Yeah, I think I would like to maybe be, I would probably like to be Mexican, I think.
What?
Yeah.
Do it.
It's the best.
Man, do it.
Is it hard?
What?
To be Mexican.
Depends.
Oh, damn.
You know, because, I mean, we can talk about it in, I don't know, about this, but my fathers, mm-hmm. my parents, they were like very poor.
Yeah.
Poor. But they start to work hard, man. And I had a nice life. So I don't have like any necessities in my life. My parents was another whole different history, man.
It was different, huh?
Yeah. And so to me, it was like, oh, I don't have any necessities. So everything was easy.
Oh, for you, but it was easy. But for them, it was different.
Yeah. And that life is for the most part of the people then in Mexico. It's a third world country, man. It's hard.
Yeah, it's tough, huh?
Yeah.
I think, no joke, when I get up in the morning sometimes, I freaking clap for Mexican people because
I think that they, if it weren't for Mexican people, America would be, nobody would be doing any. I feel like Mexican people keep this country going.
Man, I mean, I have 1 year living here, man. And I can see a lot of Mexican people like working like hard, man.
Hard working.
Like, man, these guys, all these guys are doing his, their job, right? But, just to.
And it's everywhere, all across the country. It's like that, man. Mexican, I think if it weren't for Mexican people, I don't know where, I don't know what America would be, you know?
Yeah.
You guys are like the real, like the rabitos, you know?
That, what is that?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know what is that. But.
It's like, you know, the animal with the ears at Easter.
Oh, rabbits.
Rabbits, yeah, sorry, okay. Rabbits. Yeah, you guys are the rabbits, man. Anyway, thanks for being here, man.
Oh, we started already. Okay.
We started, man. But yeah, I think when I die, I would like to come back and be Mexican next time. Because it seems there's also a lot of romance and it's more romantic.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we were talking about this before, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the Latin culture is like more with more happiness and everything.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Other cultures, they have their own fun.
Right.
In life. But I don't know, the Latin culture has a lot of traditions, a lot of amazing food, there's this mix of cultures. Yeah, I mean, I'm so happy and I'm so proud to be Mexican and be a Latino, so.
Yeah. Dang, dude. I wish next time I'm going to be 100% Latino.
Where did you say is your father?
My father's from Nicaragua.
Okay.
But... He didn't really, he talked Spanish with his friends, but he never taught me, you know, but I didn't
really?
Know. Yeah.
I don't understand why. I mean, for example, I have my nephews,
mm-hmm.
my cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They speak both language because in their house was like, outside in the school, you can speak English all the time, but in the house, you need to speak Spanish. If not, I don't understand nothing.
Oh, really?
And I'm trying to do the same with my daughter, man, because again, we have 1 year living here in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
and my daughter, she's eight years.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
She went to a school last year. Obviously, the pandemic was crazy and everything. But she started to go to the school. And I can see the more confidence when she tried to speak English.
Really?
Like, yeah. And I talked with her before, like, hey, in the moment when and I can see you can speak good English, you need to stop the English here in the house.
Oh,
never.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear any English word here because
you need solamente to keep español, huh?
Just Spanish in the house. Man, it's more opportunities. You know, it's your language, it's your culture. I mean, she born in Hemet in California.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But lives all
Hemet.
But 7 years living in Tijuana. So
wow.
Man, she's Mexican.
Oh, she's Mexican, man. Yeah, dude. But we're glad to have her over here, even for a year, man. Do you, now that you like really have become like, you've really become such a star, you know, in a lot of ways. A lot of people love you. I was talking with someone about you, about the fights, and they'd just gone to your last fight, which was in, it was in California, right? It was in Anaheim.
Yeah.
And they said when you came out, it was the loudest they'd ever, that they'd heard since Conor McGregor.
Man, that's awesome. I mean.
That's crazy, dog. You're like the Mexican corner.
Yeah. Thank you, man. So I feel like the people can connect better with my history, man.
Oh, with your history.
You know, yeah. I mean, with you, with the way I am with the people, and I don't know, I always say the same, but for example, the history of Khabib, this guy undefeated and amazing, like a wrestling god and everything, right? An amazing and perfect record.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, my history is more like the history of the people.
Yeah.
When you fall.
And you come back.
And you come back.
Yeah.
And that's like the people can identify more that history by himself than other ones. Like, hey, I mean, it's the same. I
won every time.
Yeah.
As opposed to I've lost and won and lost and won. Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, I'm just trying to be happy and enjoy my job. Yeah. and, you know, be very kind with the people. And that's it, man. And it's crazy how I can connect with the people, because I don't need to say stupid things in the social media or the trash talk or something like that.
Yeah.
I love it, man, because I hate that. Like, to me, it's very boring when when some guy tried to trash talk, to do the trash talk in social media, in a press conference. Like, man, I saw that before, man. Like,
right,
nothing new.
It's not you. And it doesn't, well, I guess it doesn't fit you. Some guys, it fits.
Yeah.
Some guys can trash talk and it just fits their character. But I don't know if it probably wouldn't fit your character, you don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I say this, like, hey, man, if you watch me mad in some place in a press conference with somebody, it's because I'm really mad with the guy. It's
right,
like, it's
right,
real, man.
Right,
so.
right. Yeah, you're not faking it. Do you go, is it, because Tijuana's a third world country, or Mexico's a third world country, is it scary to go back to Tijuana? Do you get scared since you're more popular now? Do you have any more fear? Is that...
It's a good question, man.
And nothing against the Mexican people. No.
I mean, I'm very open when we talk about Tijuana, because I know the good and the bad things, man.
I mean,
I love Tijuana. I love the city. I love my Mexico, the country. We have an amazing things, the culture, the tradition, the food. My goodness,
oh,
the
yeah.
food, man.
The ladies, bro.
The ladies, the people, whatever you want.
The aguacates.
What?
The aguacates.
Aguacates? Yeah. Avocado? I love avocado.
Oh, Brother, green gold. I love them.
But at the same time, I understand the bad things. You know, the narco traffic, the violence. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous place too. I understand that. But when I go to Mexico, I'm not really scared, man, because I lived there all my life.
Right.
Like 27 years, I've been there, like, getting an amazing time there, training, meeting people and everything. Sometimes I think about maybe my family. You never know.
I mean,
that is more scary for me. To me, like, you know, because right now I'm living in Vegas, but my parents live in Tijuana. My brother lives in Tijuana. You know, my nephews.
And they have kidnapping. People take people there sometimes.
So,
huh?
For example, when some channel asked me for an interview for my father, saying like, nah, I don't like to that get involved in all of this, because
put them in the situation.
Exactly,
it could be dangerous.
Yeah, maybe you never know, man. So I prefer to put everything out of the conversation and just be me. If you want an interview and get an interview from me, I can do it, man. But even with that, I mean, they had a few interviews.
Yeah. Did you ever get approached by like any drug people or anything after you become like a real success? Does the cartel like come for you to like get you to be their guy or anything?
Man, I mean, no, thanks God.
Yeah.
Because people like, I don't know, Julio Cesar Chavez.
Yeah.
He
got approached by them.
He talked about histories like, man, so the narco trafficking came with me, you know, because they love boxing too.
Oh.
And they start to come with me and, hey, congrats champs. And
That's dangerous.
And actually, that's why Julio Cesar Chavez started to involve with the drugs and everything and start to have problems with that.
But you don't see that for
but
you.
Not right now. And I'm so happy.
Not yet,
I'm
maybe.
Glad, you know.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I think I'm very smart in that area. I don't smoke nothing. I don't eat nothing bad, like, you know, I don't drink alcohol or smoke cigars and never in my life. So
really,
I feel like very smart in that area. I had a really nice people around me in all my life who teach me a really good things about all of the success and, you know,
a lot of good role models.
A lot of good role models, definitely. So yeah, I mean, I feel like I can do it.
You can handle it.
I can handle
it's
it.
It's not going to happen to you, probably, that situation.
I mean, you never know. I don't like to say.
You could be a kingpin.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Get a tuxedo.
No, I don't think so.
You could, man. You could. You could be like, kind of like a James Bond, but of drugs, you know?
Don't say that, man. No. I like to wear nice.
Yeah?
Dress or wear? How you say?
Let me think. I would say put on. You put on something nice, dress nice.
I, I mean, yeah. I like it, but when I wear like suits or something, I like to dress up? Something like very relaxed, like very normal, just to look elegant, and that's it.
Did you guys do something for Valentine's? Did y'all go out? Do you celebrate Valentine's Day?
Sometimes, you know, I have. Almost 11 years with my wife.
Wow.
Yeah, she was with me since when I had like nothing, man.
That's cool. Where did you meet her?
In Tijuana.
Yeah.
So she born in Texas.
Okay.
In Laredo.
So she was born American person?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But she lives all her life in Nuevo Laredo, in Tamaulipas. It's the border
with Laredo, Texas. Oh, really?
So she's Mexican.
Yeah.
but she went to Tijuana with her sister, so I meet her there. Mm-hmm. She went to the gym actually.
Oh really? You met her at the gym?
Yeah.
Did you go talk to her, or she come talk to you?
Both. I think so. I don't remember.
Okay,
no,
okay.
But both. And then when she started to talk with me, I'm just trying to get fun with everybody, so I start to make jokes with her, yeah. And then we start to talk more and more. And
you took her out.
Yeah.
On a date then? You asked her out?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, talk more and more and more, and now we have $3.
A lot of talking,
yeah,
huh?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, man, I forget what I was talking.
Oh, it's okay. I was asking about Valentine's.
Oh, the Valentine.
Day. Yeah.
But yeah, so sometimes just, for example, this last Valentine, she needed to go to Tijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And so she went to Tijuana. She was there. I was taking care of the babies because right now I'm like not training very, very hard yet because I don't have a fight coming soon.
Okay.
An official fight. So yeah, I was in the house. But other years, we try to do something.
So sometimes you have to just be the dad at home with the kids?
Actually, after a fight, I'm trying to spend more time with my daughters.
Yeah.
Because imagine my regular days is like all day I'm training in the gym. I have like five hours just training, you know, maybe not straight 5 hours,
right.
But, you know, between sessions, I have some rest and then at the other practice. So, yeah, I don't have too much time for my kids because when I finish my day, I try to go to my house and spend some time with my family. But obviously, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. Or maybe I'm diet because I have the fight. So.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of different things going on. Where you can be just very present with
exactly,
them.
Exactly. So when I finish the training camp and I pass, and I finish the fight, two or three weeks I try to spend a really good time with my family. It's very important for me, man.
Yeah. And do you take your family to Tijuana? Because do you guys go back over there much or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like one per month we go to Tijuana and we see my parents and everything.
When you were growing up over there, was it exciting? Was it dangerous? I just think Tijuana seemed like so much like adventure and things happening all at the same time. Was it like that or what was it like?
I would say the same. And I mean, if you want to find problems, you will, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know?
Sometimes I like some problems, you know?
I don't know.
Okay, maybe I like American problems. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny when the American people say like, "Oh, I'm the American gangster."
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, don't say that in Mexico, please, because that is serious.
Because somebody will see if you really are.
Yeah. So yeah, but man, when I was a kid and I was growing up there in Tijuana, I was like going to the school and then going to the gym. I had, you know, a few friends, but I never like every single weekend going to the nightclub or something like that. It was like just being myself, going to the gym, to the school, and doing my stuff, and that's it. So I never find real problems. That's why when a lot of people ask me like, "Hey, is really dangerous?" Yeah, like man, I'm not the guy.
Yeah, somebody else is, huh? And they need to get more like big people in Mexico. I know we kind of were. Y'all got to get some big, because what's the biggest Mexican they have?
Like what? Like, what is that?
Like the biggest, most grande Mexicano, señor, or chica.
Talking about fame or what?
No. Like,
tall?
Distance, yeah.
Oh, I mean, you can find big people there,
really?
Definitely.
And they hide them, huh?
Yeah, but it's not normal. The regular head of the Mexican people is like 5'8", 5'7", even less.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why all the famous Mexican boxers are in the small weights.
Yeah.
Because we are small. And it's fine.
It's okay. You're good. It's good. Yeah, you're doing great. You're doing great with
thank
it.
You.
And is there an ethnicity that's the hardest to fight that you have found? Because your division doesn't have a lot of like white guys in it, huh?
Good question. I don't know.
Do you think one ethnicity is tougher than over your time? Have you noticed?
Good question, man. I'm thinking about the white guys in my division. White guys in my division, maybe not.
Damn, we need some diversity in there, huh?
I know. Yes, you know, Afro-American people and guys from Brazil.
Yeah,
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, maybe the ethnicity, you know? I mean, someday, I don't remember who say like, hey, one day the Mexican people will dominate all the small divisions in UFC. You never know. We are working.
We're working
in the mixed martial arts in Mexico, in the country.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm the only one in the flyweights. Well, a few new ones are coming.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm like the biggest.
There's some other Latino guys, but you're the only Mexican guy.
Yeah.
Do you ever see that movie La Bamba? Did you see it?
La Bamba?
Yeah,
of course, good, man. Huh? It's good. I mean,
Venezuela was our dad's name. Remember that part?
Man, I don't remember the last time I watched the movie. Yeah. But when I was a kid, I don't have like a cable or to watch like other kind of movies.
Yeah.
So it was like the free television. I don't know how you say it.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
The free channels and okay, and in one channel was like a very popular movie. Every single weekend they put La Bamba. Every single weekend.
I just watched it like a couple of maybe 3 months ago. It's good, man. It's so nice. Sad though.
It's very Chicano culture, right? Like it's nice.
Yeah, I think so. So, is there a favorite Mexican movie that you watched growing up?
No. Of course, no. Favorite Mexican movie. It's just because I was watching the real Mexican theater like movies from Mexican actors and everything. So it's different.
Wow.
And sometimes the American people put the Chicano culture like the main one, right? And it's not
true. The same.
And yeah, I mean. They have like a lot of different things about Mexico, like the food and that stuff, like Taco Bell or something like this.
It's not true. They do a bad job. The translation is not good. Yeah, I love La Bamba.
But La Bamba is nice. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. It's a nice movie.
And they have like Despicable Me.
Despicable Me?
Yeah, you like it?
Is with the Minions and others?
Yeah, it's good. Huh?
My daughters love Minions.
Oh, I love Minions.
They are funny, man.
Oh, they're good. And they were sometimes some Filipino people remind me of Minions a little bit, because they're happy and they just keep going, you know.
Maybe, man. I don't know, but my daughter loves Minions, man. It's a nice movie.
Yeah, it's good. How do you say Despicable Me in Spanish?
Oh man, I forget. I forget how.
Me too. I never knew, actually, but I never even knew, so I couldn't even forget, bro. Dude, I want to tell you that Manscaped has really leveled up their game. Now, you know a lot of people, a lot of men especially, and even women, they get that body hair. You look at your crotch, and it look like a damn junkyard. Look like Steve and Avery milling around somewhere by your navel. Wouldn't be shocked out there. And he did it, even though he didn't do it, but he did it. So what I'm talking about is Manscaped. The Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 is that precise trim. Their advanced skin-safe technology. Look, you couldn't cut yourself if you tried, man. And don't try. Now you can even enhance your perfect grooming routine with their ultra-premium collection. That package, baby, that includes the Manscaped Premium Deodorant.
hydrating body moisturizer, body wash, 2-in-1 shampoo, plus a free gift. Christmas is only 10 and a half months away, baby. You can get 4 products plus a free gift inside the Ultra Premium Collection. Hop in the shower. Take care of everything. Get scaped, baby. Scape that man or woman. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Theo at manscaped.com. You can support the podcast. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code THEO at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code Theo at manscaped.com. The power of attraction is now in a bottle thanks to Manscaped. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. If there's something interfering with your happiness or that's preventing you from achieving your goals, sometimes we think it's a person or a job or something like that, but sometimes it's something inside of us. Something inside of us that's attaching to these things that are just more in our day-to-day life. BetterHelp can help. They will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. Wow. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. I've used BetterHelp. I was having a tough time, and I got matched up with a counselor, and I was able to pull over on the side of the road one time and FaceTime. Hey, Betty, I'm not doing well. Visit their website, read their testimonials, and visit BetterHelp.com/THEO. That's BetterHelp. Join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. Special offer for this past weekend listeners, get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/THEO.
Let me ask you, figure it out, huh, guy?
Before a lot of people say different the last
every
name.
Episode it changes. Yeah, the name, yeah, he's switching the letters, man. The guy is cheating in the letters, man. But do you guys think you can do it? Is it possible for one of you to knock the other one out, or it's not possible, you think? Honestly, after this much experience.
Man, I don't know. Because, I mean, before our rivalry, I mean, Fidelo was like knock. Oh, thank you, man. Okay. So before our rivalry, he was like knocking out every single fighter in the roster. And he was doing a very great job doing that.
Yeah.
But with me, I mean, he hit me with his best punches, and
you know. Do you think either one of you can knock the other? Do you think you can knock him out? Like, because you guys can obviously you can both find a way to win, but is it possible? I wonder. Because you guys do. I mean,
the possibility is always there, man. You know, talking about myself, I know I don't have that kind of power to knock one people out with like cold. Right. I know that. You can work in the gym, you know, you can work in your strength and conditioning, you can work with your explosivity, and you can work with your technique and your precision.
Oh yeah.
And I try to work in that like every single time in the gym, right? But I know I don't bore with that fucking superpower to knock the
like
people out.
Like Justin Gaethje or one of those guys.
Exactly, man.
Jesus Christ.
That is amazing. Figueiredo born with that power. But, I mean, I don't have that superpower, right. But I have another one.
Yeah.
I have a nice chin, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh? Man. You got extra chin, huh?
Yes. I mean,
who has it in your family? A family member has it too?
I don't know, because my family, they don't have the history of sports.
Wow.
They never play like soccer. It's a regular sport in Mexico. So they never play soccer, or they never play nothing, man. I'm the first one.
You're like a surprise, huh?
Yeah. You know, and then my brother started to do a mixed martial arts too.
Oh, really?
And he's a professional too, but it's like not like a real job for him. It's just like he go to the gym and do the exercise and everything. And if he has the opportunity to fight, he do it. If not, it's like, oh, okay.
Right, it's a hobby.
It's a hobby for him. So yes, man, again, I don't know. I have a nice chin. He hit me with his best punches.
Well, both of you guys. Jesus Christ. I got hurt one time. Was watching.
Man, last fight.
I put ice on my neck. Yeah.
Man, last fight, I can recognize he threw me his best punch in the third round. And he was like a little flash punch, but I was fine. So, man, the possibility to the knockout is always there, always, because a good punch is a good punch. But
maybe you guys can't do it, maybe.
Man, we have something mystic between us, man. I don't like the guy is a horrible person, but.
Yeah, do you think he has the same, because his energy is different than yours.
That's why, right now, to me, this rivalry is in the Hall of Fame of the UFC. Easily.
Oh, yeah. Do you think but where does it go from here? Because it's like, if there's nowhere really for you to go, like, you guys could, I feel like you guys could do this for 5 more years, you know?
I could do it. UFC 400.
You guys are coming out there like this.
Moreno against Figueredo, 50. I don't know, man. I can do it. I don't care. It's not personal for me, man. I just want the title, man.
Right.
I just want to be the best.
But do you already feel one? Now, once you win, because the title can only be with somebody for a little while, you know? I remember when Dustin Poirier won the interim title and I went over to his house and he had the belt there. Yeah. And it was crazy. It was so cool, you know? But everybody kind of... The title kind of just comes and goes, yeah. You know, like nobody really gets to keep it forever. Maybe Khabib retired with it and some guys do. Is that still like the biggest goal, or do your goals kind of shift once you're at this? Because you're kind of in this space where there's nowhere really to, you know, it's just you guys right there. Does your goal shift now? Like, do you have a different goal? Do you have a different goal than maybe you did 2 years ago? And if so, what is it? Because...
my goal is be the best.
Yeah.
You know, and if I have the veil, the people can recognize who is the best.
Oh,
right?
I see.
But to me, it's easy to me. It's not the veil. It's just why I have that belt. Mm. You understand that? Because
Tell me more about it.
I can see a lot of like champions, and it's fine. I don't have nothing against those guys. It's fine. I understand, because they feel very proud. Mm-hmm. But a lot of champions, like, they won the title and it's like, oh, I want to take pictures every single day with my belt.
Yeah.
I go to every single interview with the belt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I feel you. But that's not your style.
Because they love, the people sometimes, they love like souvenirs. They love trophies and...
Yeah, that's true.
Man, to me, it's funny because I remember when I won the belt.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, held the belt, it's nice, it's pretty. But I went to my house, like, I live in my couch, like, there.
Yeah.
And then my wife came with me and said, like, hey, you need to put the belt in a nice place, come on. Like,
I thought she'd be yelling at you, like, get your belt out the living room, you know? Like, get your shoes off the floor. Like,
I can do it later.
It's heavy too, the belt, huh?
Oh, it's heavy.
Jesus Christ, give him a lighter belt, because you just fought the whole time. Now you got to carry this heavy belt out of the ring.
Man, imagine that. The people, because sometimes I need to go with some sponsor, mm-hmm, to do something. And want to bring the belt.
That's a sixth round right there.
Man, or they want the photo shoot with the belt, and the belt is so heavy. Like, man, I don't like this thing. Yeah. You want the belt? Take it. I don't care. But
So for what is the goal still? Oh, because if you have the belt, then people know who the champion is.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm always asking the same, because if the people ask me, like, hey, where's your belt? Like,
yeah.
First of all, I'm not with the belt all the time. I'm not with the belt in my car. And second one, in that moment, with belt or without belt, you know who is the champion, right? Like, oh, yes, like, that's it.
But once you become a champion, don't you feel like at a certain point you're qualified to always be a champion, though?
I work like a champion every day, at least.
It's a good attitude. It's a good point.
You know?
Yeah.
Because
sometimes
talking about me, mm-hmm, in person, I'm very obsessive.
Are you?
I feel like... sometimes it's not enough. Even when I know I'm working so hard and I feel so tired, I go to my bed thinking like, fuck, maybe I need to work a little bit more.
Oh.
actually the success people work so hard and they think they don't work so hard.
Oh, man. They don't think they work so hard. That's interesting.
Man, at the same time, obviously the depression and everything, you need to work with that, with your mind, because this is an important thing. More in this sport, because you live always in with a lot of stress and, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I work all the time and other people are like, man, you work so hard, you're doing so well. But me, I don't really see it like that.
Man, sometimes a lot of people say to me, hey, you need to rest. Like, man, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I need to do more.
Yeah.
But at the same time, my body say like, no, you can't. Like, I have this battlefield in my mind always.
Yeah. It's tough to manage sometimes. I bet at least having a family and stuff gets you out of your own head and keeps you there.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking with you about my time with my family after practice, after when my day is finished.
Yeah.
And I know maybe the time is not the best because I'm tired and I can't like play like two hours with my daughter.
Oh, you have neck brace. You can't even do nothing.
At least I'm trying. And you know, I spend time with my family. It's nice, you know, because my daughters are there, very funny.
Yeah.
My big daughter, she's like, she's doing like
the 8-year old.
She's in the school. Yeah. And she's doing her jiu-jitsu. And she's one stripe degree.
Oh, she's one stripe?
She's white belt, one stripe.
Oh, Iwali, yeah.
Same level.
Yeah, same, boy. I'm one stripe white belt, man. But I'm still, I go like 5 times a week, but I'm one stripe white belt right now.
Yeah, man, I mean, but that time with my family distract me to my realities.
We actually have a question. We got some questions that came in, and usually we have television monitors, but since we're not at the studio, I'm just going to have to play it like this. And it's actually kind of about what you're talking about. And then,
hi Brandon and Theo, my name is Melissa. So I am Mexican too. Theo, at this point, I think you count as Mexican as well.
Bienvenidos.
I grew up in a very Mexican household, very traditional. Women hold this nurturing, caregiving role. And within recent years, I've really got into, you know, MMA fighting, following UFC, and I'm interested in taking some jiu-jitsu classes. I have a lot of friends that are males that are taking classes right now. So my question to Brandon is, how do we eliminate these cultural barriers? So if your daughter were to be interested in maybe boxing, MMA fighting, I'm interested in seeing your perspective and how you would, you know, just go about that. Again, thank you so much. Y saludos.
Saludos.
That's a good question. It fits. Yeah, so is it... And she may be talking specifically in Mexico that women are looked at more of like a mother and caregiver. Do you think that it's changing? What do you think? Or what do you think about women in getting into jiu-jitsu in that country?
I mean, first of all, I feel a lot of respect for all women who's trying to do this sport, man. Because it's a tough sport. Not just for a woman. I mean, even for a man, it's a tough sport because you need to learn too much. And if you really want to be a fighter, you need to pass for a lot of pain, man.
Yeah, it's scary.
Sometimes the people is a little bit confused. Like, oh, I don't want to do mixed martial arts, but it looks very aggressive. I mean, if you want just to do the sport and practice and sweat and do some exercise, you can do it. I mean, you can hit pads, you can learn technique, and that's it. I mean, everything changes when you want to be a fighter, definitely,
right?
Because you need to do sparring, you need to have the hard sessions and everything. And for a woman, when you step into a gym, you can see, I don't know, 90% of the team, men's, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe a few women's there.
Yeah.
And
a few mixed.
I can just imagine that is like a little bit
intimidation,
some intimidation there. So starting from that, I have a lot of respect for her, right? Because it's hard, man. So I don't know. I have the example of my daughter.
Yeah.
Like, hey girl, I mean, you need to go to do something because you know, it's self defense. It's a good weapon in your life. You never know. You know?
Oh, yeah. Even me just going, I feel like now if somebody came and wanted to knock me out, I wouldn't be as scared to get knocked out.
Okay.
Whereas before, I'd be scared to get knocked out. But now at least if I'm just like, all right, You know, I just, it's like a little less fear. I don't know. Just little things. Yeah, your confidence goes up.
Yeah, I mean, and she's a little princess, man. I don't think, like, she want to be, like, black belt, a competitor. I don't feel like she wanted to do that in the future. But at least, I mean, get your blue belt, get your purple belt, and get that knowledge in your mind, and that's it, you know?
Do you think, what about in Mexico? Is it getting popular for women there, or is it not that big of a thing there? Or in Tijuana, you know?
I mean, right now in Entrance Gym in Tijuana, they have a decent female team.
Oh, wow.
They have like 4 or 5 girls, and it's not too much, right? Because the whole team is like 40, 50 guys.
Wow.
It's crazy.
There's a predominantly, it seems like Mexican or Latino, like, it's like UFC or Bellator, but it's at nighttime. I see it on television sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a league. It's like a fight league. But it's mostly, I think, Mexican. It's a smaller one. It's like a Bellator, but it's very small, you know?
I mean,
sometimes I see it on TV.
Where do you see it?
At night on television at night. Sometimes late at night I see it on.
I mean, they have a few ones like UWC. Actually, that league is from
UWC. You were in it.
I fought there before.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when I started fighting like a professional, I fought there.
Yeah.
And the league is from Entram Gym, Tijuana.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice league because they put a lot of guys in the Contender Series, and a lot of guys got the contract from Contender Series and fought in the UFC. So it's like in a nice league. It's another one. Luke's Fight League's another one. He's in Fight Pass 2.
Mm.
I think those ones are the more solid leagues in Mexico right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your other kids like? Do they have hobbies, your other daughters? What are they like?
Oh, they're like young.
Oh, they're really
little. My middle daughter is 3 years right now.
Oh, she don't know. We don't know. Yeah.
And my youngest daughter, she's 1 year.
Oh,
1 year and a few months. So they don't know nothing right now. Just.
That's bantamweight, huh? Yeah. What is that?
Just getting fun in the house all day.
Yeah, just having fun, huh?
Yeah. My daughter, she started to do something because, I mean, I remember when she was 2-3 years and now she's like, I want to do this. And the other day was talking with my wife, hey, I want to go to the mall because,
the mall. Like,
come on, girl, now you want to go to the mall? Damn.
Where would you guys go hang out? What was like a fun thing? Do you remember like in school or something when you were growing up? Like, was there a fun place? Would you guys go to the mall, stuff like that as kids? Yeah. In Mexico, same?
In Mexico?
Yeah.
Me, not too much. I mean, I went to the mall because the theater was, the movie theater was there. So
I went with
my mom and everything. I remember the weekends I went with my parents to some restaurant to eat something. Again, the movie theater.
Do they have, in America, like aliens are like a big thing. Do they have that in Mexico? Like, do people talk about aliens and stuff? Same or no?
Aliens.
You know what I'm talking about?
Aliens, the guys in the air.
Those guys. I guess they're bad guys. They always make them to be bad, like kind of bad guys.
You know what? It's not my world, but yeah, of course, definitely need to be some guys talking about aliens.
But is it popular in Mexico? Because in America, I feel like people are always,
not like America.
Wow. Why do we care so much?
I don't know, man. And maybe I'm talking from myself, my own experience.
Your perspective,
maybe other guys like, man, come on, aliens are very popular in Mexico. I don't know, man. To be honest, it's not my goal to know too much about aliens.
Yeah.
What do you think about aliens? Do they exist or not?
I wouldn't be surprised, you know.
Me neither.
But we got a lot of issues already, kind of. My friend told me a lot of black people and aliens don't get along, someone tell me one time.
Okay.
Which is crazy, you know, but I didn't know. So I think a lot of stuff, I'm just learning it, you know, but I always wondered because I've only grown up in America. I always wondered if people in other countries have the same, like, do they care about aliens, you know?
Okay.
And they have surprise parties in Mexico, like a surprise birthday. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Depends.
You know, everybody hides and they come in?
Yeah.
You
depends.
Do that?
Sometimes my wife gives me like a few birthdays, surprise birthdays sometimes.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Before. And what's nice.
Yeah.
It's everything about tradition and different, the traditions and in other families, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, family's so important in Mexico. What things do you think that you enjoy more about Mexico as compared to America? Are there any things you kind of notice about the...
Like we say before, I think the laugh.
Yeah, people laugh more in Mexico. Huh?
Yeah, the laugh.
Latinos fucking laughter.
Yeah, I mean, in America, I mean, they are nice, these people too, but they are a little bit more like cold. Yeah. Sometimes.
Why?
The Latin American culture is like, I don't know, man. For example, if you have like 2 years you don't see your family and you go with them to visit your family, like, wow, they make a party and a lot of food. Like, they wanna do everything there. Like, it's a big deal. It's nice. Wow. So yeah, that's...
Yeah, in America, it's just like you give hugs and then you go watch television.
Maybe it's not everybody. It's always... We are talking in general, right?
Right, right.
But yeah... The Latin American culture is like very, I don't know, it's because I don't know the word in English, but in Spanish is alegre.
Alegre.
Alegre, like happy.
Alegre. Hmm. It sounds good.
Yeah.
Alegre.
Alegre, like happy, like yeah. happiness.
Yeah, like maybe happiness or celebratory. Uh-huh. Yeah, I just always feel like Latinos are having a better time. Sometimes I'm happy that I'm born here, but sometimes I wish I had more of a I wish you get to live in more cultures.
Actually,
you know?
I mean, I have this guy because I was watching his videos. He's a kind of YouTuber, mm-hmm. Because he do like conference and everything.
What his name is?
Yokoi Kenji.
Yoko Kenji.
So his father, he's Japanese, and his mother is from Colombia.
Ooh, that's a good mix, huh?
So his conference, he talked about the difference of cultures. Mm-hmm. You know, the Japanese culture is like very serious, very, very serious, very formal,
very
disciplined.
Okay? They
never go late to something.
Early. They sleep outside if they have to.
Early in the job, everything. Yes. They are hard workers and everything.
Yes. Work, stress. Ooh, uh-huh. Eat the soup.
Very serious.
Yeah.
And the Colombian culture is like... Very happy culture, a lot of food, exactly the dance. But sometimes the hard work is not the representation.
Oh, it's more party.
Exactly. So he talked about that, like, hey, when I go to Japan, mm-hmm. because they have all these numbers of suicides.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So he go to Japan and talk about the Latin culture, like hey, sometimes it's fine that you go late to your job.
Yeah, sometimes.
Relax. Spend time with your friends. Okay. And he went to Colombia, like, hey, you need to go early to your job. Yeah. Come on, bro.
You need a briefcase.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe it's similar with America and
That's probably true, man. Yeah, I wonder sometimes, like, yeah, just how much it would be nice to probably have a little bit more of different culture in me and stuff like that. We got another question that came in right.
Let's
here.
Let's go. Play this one for you. Oh, and to ask the question, I mean, she just need to find a nice gym with a lot of respect and work hard. That's it.
Question for Brandon. What is your number one advice for winning a street fight? And do you have any stories? Gang, gang.
Damn.
Yeah, my fears. Once you really become a fighter, then people want to fight you. That's probably one of the problems of being a fighter. Like, if you want to be a nobody wants to eat your cookies until you say you're a baker. You know what I'm saying, brother? But then once they see that oven open, people want to come and see what's up. They want to snickerdoodle.
My fierce advice is don't fight in the street. It's horrible. You have a lot of scratch in your elbows, in your knees. You don't win nothing.
Yeah, it's just stop for the cars.
It's not glory. It's not glory there, man.
Right.
I have just won a street fight in all my life. I had 15 or 16 years old, and I went to play soccer to some field. We are was lying there, and some guy from he looks like very like from the hood, like mm-hmm. even a kind of humblest.
Really?
He looked from the hood, like
no, yeah, no casa.
Exactly. He looks weird, like
yeah.
He looks with problems.
Yeah.
And he started to play
with problems.
And he started to play with.
Yeah, he looks with problems.
And he started to play with us soccer with all the guys. He came with a few friends, I remember, like one or two, I don't know. And we started to play and everything. And in some point, he has the ball,
uh-huh.
And I take the ball from his legs, and he started to get mad because I was doing that like constantly.
Yeah.
Okay. And in the last one, I take the ball. I had the ball, and he's tried to take me the ball like bad, like.
Oh, this. Slide you down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I move the ball there, and he's just like slide on all the ground.
Like a cartoon.
Exactly. And then he go against me and like, hey, what? He started to scream to my face and everything. Hey. So I saw the problem there and like when I put my hands up, I don't care. In that moment I had like 2 or 3 years experience of mixed martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put my hands up. He put his hands up and he started to move a little bit. I throw a jab. Bam!
Wow.
And with the jab he went to the ground. Bam. I don't remember if he started to throw some blood, but
yeah, maybe
I don't remember.
Some.
But I remember he went to the ground like boom,
oof.
And I don't feel good, man. I feel like because when I fight with some guy who I know the guy know how to fight,
right?
And I beat him like okay,
that's different. It's fair.
Yeah, like okay.
So is it because you think it's more fair?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, because I don't feel good when I do that, like.
Right.
I remember that. I saw the guy on the ground like, oh man, it's fine. I don't want more problems, man.
Yeah.
Everything is fine. And I go out of the field and I went to my house and I feel weird like, I don't.
And couldn't even go to his house because he was probably homeless, you know?
Maybe.
He couldn't even go to his house. He couldn't even go after.
So
for you fighting, there's something. So you really like to fight if it's a very organized and it's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So it's not for you. You don't like to, because it's interesting. Some guys just love to fucking fight. Like I talked with Chito Vera. He just loves.
Yeah,
to fucking,
he's crazy. That guy's crazy.
He's crazy, right?
Yeah, I know Chito.
He loves being crazy. He loves fucking, you know, he loves to fight, you know? And like Poirier, I think sometimes he loves to scrap too, but I think he likes to fight. He wants to prove himself kind of like, but so you like to fight. Why do you like to fight, you think?
For the same with like Poirier, I like to prove. I love when the people when I watch people from I don't know from the school, you know, from high school, from middle school, and like, hey, I never thought you
would be a fighter.
You'll be a fighter.
Wow.
Like, I love that because I proved they were wrong.
In case you haven't heard, car and home insurance rates are going up this year. Yeah, they are. Every year, you know, everything. It's all, you know, life. They charge you for it. Well, make sure you're not paying more than you need to. Tune to The Zebra. They can help you find the perfect insurance for your needs in just minutes. The Zebra compares car and home quotes for every major insurance company side by side, giving you all the facts you need to make the right decision. So if you're not sure if you're paying the right amount, are you paying too much, don't lay there in bed and wonder, damn, are they jacking me for another 30? Are them bastards sneaking another $18 out of my pocket? Find out. The Zebra saves people an average of $922 a year on car and home insurance combined. And they do it all in just 5 minutes. Insurance, man, I wonder all the time, am I getting screwed? Now you can find out. Save time and money in minutes. Go to thezebra.com/Theo. You can support the show by going to this special URL, thezebra.com/Theo, and get your free quote today. Don't spend more than you need to. thezebra.com/Theo. All right. Everybody want them blue wiener lifters, baby. You know what I'm talking about? Blue chews. Blue chews. Damn, bro. Dude, a starfish, a starfish was just a jellyfish and then somebody gave it a blue chew. Damn. Think about that. That's the power of that popper, baby. The power of that popper. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of erectile dysfunction and help men gain extra confidence for when it's time to perform. Now, I don't mind the tab. I like it. You know what I'm saying? Dude, look, if you put a dish of them by the television, hell, I'd have half a handful, you know? I wouldn't be able to stand up, or all I'd be able to do is stand up, but it'd be hard for me to probably bend my appendages to get anywhere after that. The process is simple. Sign up at bluechew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. No doctors, no sneaky stuff, nothing like that. Make it discreet. Take care of your what you need for your sex. That's it. Here's a special deal for you guys. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Theo at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code T-H-E-O to receive your first month for free. Bluechew.com, promo code Theo.
Did you know that you were going to be that much of a fighter, though?
No, I started the sport just for love, just to do something. I was a chubby kid.
Right.
So I remember when I finished my elementary school, I was on vacations, like a few weeks before to go to the middle school, I was talking with my mom, like, hey, with my parents. I'm like, hey, I want to do something, you know? I have too much time, you know? I remember my times in elementary school, like...
Too much tummy?
I was finishing my day in the school, and then, like, start to eat junk food.
Oh, yeah.
And then go to my room and start to play video games.
Yeah.
And that's it. So, in some point, was like, I'm done with that. Like, I want to do something, like some sport.
So
I was
you got
playing,
into fighting.
I was playing a lot of combat games.
Oh,
so, like,
really?
Tekken was my favorite.
Yeah, fighting games.
Fighting games, and like I wanna practice something. Like I wanna do capoeira. I remember because one of the characters of the game.
Wow, yeah.
Eddie, I remember the name.
One of his things was the capoeira.
His style was capoeira, so I love this. I love the style for that. But my mom never find a good place in Tijuana to do capoeira. But we find the mixed martial arts. In that moment, they say vale todo.
Vale todo?
Yeah, like vale tudo in Brazil.
Vale tudo.
They start.
Oh, ballet.
Vale tudo.
Vale tudo.
Like, how you
like
say?
This? Like this?
No. Like.
Vale tudo.
Yeah, like no rules.
Oh.
Yeah, like no rules. Vale. Something like that. I forget the name. In it's like.
That was the place was called that?
I mean, in Mexico in general.
Right.
You know, for the culture, for the baletudo. It was a new sport in the country in that moment. It was 2006.
It was a new sport?
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
And you just liked it. You just kept doing it.
I saw everything, the information, like Brazilian jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, wrestling. Like, what? I don't know what is Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I don't know what is wrestling. But all the information looks like nice.
Yeah.
So my mom got the number. And
they signed you up?
That was a weekend, like Saturday, Sunday, and next Monday I went to the class.
And you stayed committed, huh?
I mean, it's very simple, man.
Right.
It was very simple. My start was very simple. It was like that. And then, I mean, I was just training because I love to spend time there in the gym, sweating, doing exercise. My body looks better, right?
Yeah, it's confidence.
More confidence in the middle school. Oh, you start to meet some girls and you start, you want to look better
la,
for
la,
that.
La, la, la bamba.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want to dance La Bamba in the classroom,
I
right?
I met a girl and Donna was her name.
But then, man, I mean, I start to watch like, man, I like to do this. Like, I don't want to do nothing more.
But did people just look at you like a karate boy? They're like, oh, it's just a karate boy?
Maybe.
And then later it became a bigger thing for you.
Exactly.
And was there a point where you were thinking about not doing it anymore at some point?
Like what?
Like where you think when your career was kind of, because your career has been like this, you know? And it's definitely very, it's in a new space and has been for a few years now. But did you think when it was, did you reconsider or not reconsider, but think maybe I'm finished?
Man. A lot of times, man. That's a normal question in a life of a fighter. I'm good on this. Like, because when I remember when I started my professional career, my amateur career was amazing. Like, a lot of the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournaments, winning. I had a nice amateur record of kickboxing. Oh. I have 12-2, something like that. My MMA amateur career was very nice too, like 6-0. I have one draw, something like that. But my amateur career was a success. Mm. But when I did my transition to the professional, I was like winning one, losing another one, winning one. My record went to 3-3. Mm. And the problem was I was very young. I remember.
Damn, 3-3, boy. Anything could happen. You know, you might not make the playoffs. You know,
man, my first fight was when I had 17 years old. And man, if you can watch me now, I mean, I know I'm not the most muscular guy in the room right now.
I'm not gonna fight you. I know that. I promise.
But man, imagine at 17 years old, I was like skinny.
Really?
No tattoos. Like, I was, looks like a kid, man. Like a kid. So my opponents, the most part of the time was like bigger guys, like 20 something. I remember my first fight, the other guy had like 25, 27.
Damn.
Something like that, around that.
And how old was you?
17.
Jesus Christ, that's illegal, I think.
Huh? Yeah, so for example, and at that fight, I won. The next one, I fought with some guy. He has like 21 or 22, but the guy was a guy who was working in construction and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Strong, big.
Yeah.
And I was very frustrated because I remember like saying to me, like, I know, like, talking about technique, I'm a huge better
than this guy.
Yeah.
Right.
The problem is I don't have the power to show it, right?
Right. That, well, the weight class was probably so different as well, huh?
I was fighting in 135.
And what was the guy in? He was in 135 too? The construction worker?
Of course. And he was obviously cutting weight and everything. I went to that fight in 140, something like that.
Damn.
And the other guy, I don't know. So, yeah, I mean.
What about also a lot of jockeys come out of y'all's country?
Oh, what is jockeys?
Yuckies, you know? Or yuckies?
I don't know what a jockey is.
Like the you know this guy, you know, like we had Mario Gutierrez, I think. Well, I know he's like, you know, the caballeros, you know, the
okay.
The horses, you know,
okay.
The horseback.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
It's
okay.
Big in Mexico. There's a lot of jockeys or yuckies.
Maybe. It's not my world, man. So I don't know. But
you never met any?
No. Oh, for example, you talk about people who just love to
ride on the horse, you know?
Maybe the people with money, because horses are expensive.
Horses are expensive, huh?
Canelo Alvarez has a huge horse's place. Like,
you've been over there or no?
No, but I can see his social media and the picture and everything. Like, wow, it's amazing.
Wow.
So yeah, man, it's not my world, but I mean, there's a lot of ranch there in Mexico, so.
Yeah. And you said a lot of people are moving over there. A lot of Americans now are moving over to Mexico, to Tijuana.
I mean, man, the border in San Diego, Tijuana is crazy every single day, man.
Both directions now.
Both directions now.
That's crazy.
Before, it was just going to United States.
Yeah, now it's going
now,
back. Yeah.
The people from San Diego who was trying to cross the border to Tijuana,
yeah.
It's crazy too, man. They spend like 1-2 hours there. So yeah, man, I was talking with you. A lot of people from San Diego, you know, American people.
Yeah.
So they work in San Diego,
uh-huh.
But they live in Tijuana because they are winning dollars,
right?
They are spending pesos in Tijuana, in Mexico. So imagine that they can spend more because everything is cheaper in Tijuana, right?
Right.
The thing is, they need to cross the border every day.
Right.
And man, I mean, I had a neighbor who, he was like every single morning, like, I don't remember, like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., like I was hearing his car, turning on his car, going to the border. And man.
Because it takes a long time, huh?
Like you say before to start with this, like, man, they are winning money, but they are losing life, man. I mean, that's too much
time. Yeah, you're sitting in the car, you can't do nothing.
Imagine all the stress every day.
Thinking like, smog. You probably start smoking, chewing gum. I don't know what I would do.
I don't like that, man.
For 2 hours, I would lose my mind, huh?
Every single...
But is Tijuana changing a lot? Because there are a lot of people moving there?
Man, Tijuana right now is growing up, like, too much. Like,
wow.
And the space is, every single time, not enough. So they are building a lot of... they are doing buildings.
Oh.
So the city is going up.
Wow.
You can see a lot of buildings, a lot of condos, apartments, everything. So, yeah, man, because, again, a lot of people from Latin America, they went to Tijuana trying to cross the border to the United States. They can't.
Hondurans?
They're stuck in Tijuana. They came with everything, with the culture, with the traditions. So, yeah, I mean, talking about Tijuana, it's a weird but nice mix of cultures. It's nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because it's getting diverse. And who else is there? We were talking about people from Honduras, you said?
Honduras, the last ones, from Haiti. I don't know how you say it in English? Haiti.
Haiti. Oh, yeah, like...
From the Caribbean, I think.
Yeah, the Caribbean. Yeah, Haiti.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have witchcraft.
Witchcraft.
It's like a sorcerer. Sorcery? Yeah, like magic in Haiti.
Ah, okay.
Or Haiti. We say Haiti also.
Haiti.
But they have witchcraft and magician, like magic, dark arts.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, so, I mean, now you can see a lot
of... Artístico peligroso.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if sometimes, you know, for the language, I don't understand sometimes. So hopefully it's not racist, but you can see now a lot of black people walking in Tijuana.
No, uh-huh. It's not racist, But you wouldn't see it before.
No.
Wow, it's different, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's Haitian people, yeah.
Yeah. And now, like, people from Honduras, because a lot of people, like, go back to Honduras, but other people stay there.
Wow. Yeah. Tijuana is getting diverse, huh?
Yes, man. It's crazy. I love the city, man.
Yeah?
A lot of people say I'm, like, an ambassador of the city.
Yeah?
Like, man.
Do you get in, like, a armored car when you're there or anything? You have security now or no if you go there?
Not yet.
Yeah. Have you got to meet the president or anything yet of Mexico?
Yes, man.
Really?
I did it the last year, man.
No!
And
was
right
it
now,
scary?
It's awkward. It's weird because...
You went to the Capitol?
Yes, I went to the capital of Mexico, Mexico City.
Yeah. Mexico City, I heard, is beautiful.
It's beautiful. A lot of nice places, but it's too much people there.
Really?
A lot of people. You can see a lot of people in the street trying to cross the street or something, waiting for the light. Mm-hmm. A lot of people.
Oh.
It's like 200 people waiting in the corner.
Uh-huh.
It's
like the Nature Channel, huh?
Exactly. So, yeah, man, last year I went to the Capitol to meet the president. It was weird because, first of all, you
had to bring the belt too, or no?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah, man, the people love souvenirs. The people love trophies.
Jesus Christ, can't you just show a picture of it? Let the guy leave it in the car. It's heavy.
I know, man. So we wake up in the morning. I eat my breakfast, and then we went to Palacio Nacional. Palacio Nacional.
Palacio de Nacional.
The place is huge. Wow. It's in the in the center of the city.
And they have gates on the front, stuff.
Yeah, but we went to the back from the back to the back because in the front is like too much people watching everything. So
it's fancy. It's like fancy. Tourists. Yeah.
So in the back part of the Palacio Nacional, a lot of security, a lot of people with suits, a lot of police officers, a lot of media outside, and then you cross some kind of border.
Like a bridge or?
No,
bridge. Oh, like a security.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You cross that and you go to another security who was getting your name and your ID and everything.
And you have to take the belt and put it in the basket each time?
Uh-huh.
No.
Of course,
God.
Yes. Yeah. You need to pass the. You need to pass
the.
You need to pass the bell for a metal security thing. And nothing, man. Was just wait for him like 20 minutes because he was doing something. I don't remember what. And then I met him. And it's weird because.
And you knew who he was.
Yeah. I know the guy. It's weird in Mexico right now. The government in Mexico is very like
fragmented.
Exactly. It's the same thing like with Donald Trump.
Oh wow!
Because a lot of people love him and a lot of people hate him.
Right.
You know.
So it's the same in Mexico.
So yeah, when I knew I want to go to meet the president, I'm going to go to meet the president, I was like, man, I don't know if this is a good idea because a lot of haters like, now you are with the government.
Oh, yeah.
Brandon. Like, but man, I mean, I just trying to be very like, very neutral. Like, man, I'm going to do this for the mixed martial arts in my country, man.
That's a really good
meet
point.
Meet the president of a country is a huge thing.
Any country, I think it's interesting. You know?
So I did.
And it's just an honor. It doesn't matter who it is. It's
exactly,
the honor.
Exactly. Just the honor to be there.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, at the end of the day, I think that people understood that.
Yeah, I think so. It makes sense to me.
It was a nice experience, man.
It was?
Yeah.
Wow. So what aspirations do you have right now? Do you feel like, is there a way where you feel like you obviously get back to the belt? Is that a goal right now?
Up to 100%, man.
It is.
I mean, I'm pushing so hard with my manager, like, man, I don't want another fight, man. I want that fight because I know that, first of all, I'm still thinking I want that fight.
Yeah. Yeah, look, man.
I don't want to be.
I would agree. I would agree that I don't know if he won.
Okay. You know.
I don't think that he, I don't believe that he did enough to win. That's where I stand with it.
Man, so I'm just trying to keep a balance between I saw the fight, I feel like I won the fight, and I want to be very positive about it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I don't want to be cocky.
Right.
And say like, oh, I won the fight. I don't need to learn nothing about it because I won. And I don't want to be that stupid guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that guy's not learning anything.
Exactly. So, man, I'm trying to watch the perspective of the judges to see what they can maybe watch in that fight and, you know, fix my mistakes. And that's it. I mean, I know for sure. I just need to fix a little things.
Well, it's also interesting, and I heard you say this on another podcast, talking about the perspective of the judges, because some of them don't know that much about wrestling, about doing MMA, and they don't fucking... I don't even know. Some of them, I don't even know what business they're in. You know?
Man, that's like, important, man. I mean, a lot of guys from boxing.
Yeah.
Because they are a little bit old, like judging, and it's a whole different sport, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't notice sometimes, like, yeah, position is so important. One certain, like, hook of the foot or keeping an arm out of the way, like, things like that are so strategic
because
and that can shape around, it seems like.
My point was... I mean, is the guy throw three good punches in all the fight? He got three knockdowns against me,
mm-hmm.
and he was throwing a good kicks. He tried a few takedowns in the fight. He never take me down really. Mm-hmm. He take me down one time, but it was my fault because I closed too much distance and he just took the advantage and he did it. Okay, that's my point. But my point is, man, I was touching his face every single time. Bam, 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 bam. You know?
Damn, like a musician, huh?
I know,
Tommy Lee.
Man, I know I don't have the enough power to knock a guy like cold, but yeah. I mean, I'm doing my job. Effective punches,
yeah.
Straight to his face, everything.
Yeah, what else could you... look, I don't think that the title should have changed hands, man. I really don't think that it should have. I wonder, sometimes you wonder if it's they're doing something because of the story. They want this bigger picture story.
But you know what? Actually, right now I'm very excited, man.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I put a little bit more drama in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I'm a little bit mad with me. Like, man, that belt is yours, man. And now... you wake up some monster inside me, man.
Yeah, I like that, huh? Some chupacabra.
El pinche chupacabras.
Oh, yeah.
So, man, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it is interesting. At least your story now has enough, because that's your story. Your story is this.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster, that's your story. Man.
It is. So it's almost like we can't be shocked when we get our story. You know, we can't be surprised. It's like that's what God has for us. He has that story. It's like your story is that you are a guy who has to face certain adversities. Everybody is. And that's the way that yours goes. That's interesting, man. But yeah, I'm sure you have more. You certainly have more purpose. The guy coming wanting something always has more purpose.
And you know what, man?
It's exciting. It is exciting.
You know what? I mean, I'm very honest with everybody about this. Like, I'm start this like in a selfish way. Like, I'm start this because I wanna be the best.
Yeah.
I wanna prove something to the world who say I'm not enough good to be the best in this sport. Stupid things like I want a huge house, I want a nice car. Everything started from there, from the selfish way. But then...
For you?
For me, exactly. Right. But then, you know, a lot of people start to come to my journey. You know, my wife, my daughters, my family. Then you start to watch, if you do a nice job in this, you can do something for the mixed martial arts in all your country.
Right.
You are motivating a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Around Mexico to do this sport, who watch Brandon Moreno, like, hey, I mean, I want to be that guy.
I want to be Brandon Moreno.
Imagine that, man. I mean.
Even probably for Halloween, they had people that were Brandon Moreno.
So, man, now I can see, I can move the world, man. I can move. And that is a huge motivation for me, man.
It's a good point. It's powerful. And it's almost, I think it starts to become for some guys in the all's business. I notice it with Dustin. I notice it with certain guys. You can do. You get to a level as a human where you can do it with or without the sport, even. I think, I'm not saying that now. I'm not saying, I just think, you know, sometimes you start to transcend, people see who you are as a human through the fighting, you know, and that's what's sometimes really, what also people gravitate towards.
Yeah, but you know, the people sometimes, they forget, I mean, I'm a human. I know how to fight.
Right.
That's a fact. But I'm a human being as you, as the other guys, right? And that, I think, is why the people get some motivation, because I'm always very clear with everybody. Like, man, I'm born in Tijuana in a hood. You know, definitely I understand the opportunities of other people are different. Maybe had a better opportunities to other people who was trying to do this the same way. I understand a lot of people they don't get the success in the future.
Right.
That's a fact. No?
Right. Some people don't get the same success or the same future. Some people don't get the same opportunity. Some people get to live vicariously through your opportunity. Sometimes there's a guy maybe who wanted to train or wanted to do this or that. It could be a guy that's in a wheelchair. It could be a guy that is just got his girlfriend pregnant young and had to start being
a man.
And they see you, it's like, oh, that guy, what I wanted to have a chance at, he got a chance at. And they're not angry. They are just, they I think, can relate, you know?
Yeah, man. So, but man, at the end of the day, to me, it's about hard work.
Okay.
Obviously, it's about decisions. It's about how you manage your life and the possibilities of your own world.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's hard work, man. I really believe if you live in this position with hard work, maybe you don't go to here, mm-hmm. but man, you're here and your hard work putting here, man, that is a success, man.
Do you think that comes to you do you think that is a traditionally a Mexican trait, or do you think that is something that was learned by instilled by your parents, or do you just feel like it's just who you are, kind of? Because Mexicans, we started talking that Mexican people work fucking hard. Dog, I don't even know when Mexican people sleep. When I see Mexican people, Mexican people are the hardest. I wake up every day and I go like this. Round of applause for Mexican people for keeping the country going. They work
hard.
That's
why, I mean, to me, it's this combination. It's hard work, your decisions, and your world, your opportunities. Mm. Okay? Because, yeah, it's obviously... It's not just about the hard work.
Yeah.
Okay, because I know a lot of people who cross the border trying to get in a better life for their family and work all his life, but they never do nothing. Like, they don't save money or they don't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that is about the decisions. And another thing is, you know, the opportunities around you, you know?
When you were growing up, did you know anybody that went and snuck all across the border? Did you know any? Were there people like that? Because I'm sure that, or people that... You know, came, you know, like, because a lot of people sneak across, right? It's, I mean, that just happens over the, you know, tons of people have done it over the years. Do you ever, is that a popular thing where people go and then send money back? Because you hear about it from here, but you don't, I don't know what it's like in Tijuana, you know?
Man, I don't know. Because
you never saw that world really much?
Not exactly. No, around my family. I mean, I have too much history. I have family in Los Angeles, for example. But I'm not sure if they are legal or not.
Right, right. Yeah. I don't think half the people in Los Angeles know if they're legal or not.
So I think they're illegal. I'm not sure, to be honest.
Right, right. Yeah, who knows?
So I don't know. I mean, before, cross the border was easy, man. You needed to say like, oh, I'm American citizen. You need to speak and speak like a decent English, and that's it. You can cross the border.
Oh yeah.
But then, after the September 11, the borders, everything are very very disciplined borders.
Right.
It's hard to cross the border. You need to have your visa. The officers are very like watching everything. So you can't cross the border like easy as before.
It's tighter, yeah.
Yeah.
And they have, and now they have people crossing the other way. That's the craziest thing to me, is that there's now people leaving America to go live in Mexico. Not that it's not a great thing to do, but it's just times change, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine it's in the other border cities. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, for example, the father of my wife's father.
Mm-hmm. Your father-in-law, your wife's dad.
Uh-huh.
Your
stepdad. He lives. He do the same. Like he lives in Tamaulipas, mm-hmm. but he work in Laredo.
Mm.
So it's the same.
I want to go to El Paso. You ever been there?
Just I passed there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I don't stuck there like a little bit because I needed to go to Ciudad Juarez.
Oh, you went to Juarez?
Yeah, I went to Juarez.
Is Juarez cool? It's nice?
It's a hard place, man.
It is?
It's a hard place.
It's a lot of maquiladoras there, huh?
I think so. I was there like 2 days or something like that because I was doing something with my visa.
And a lot of what? Criminals? Or no, maybe crime?
I don't know right now, but like a few years...
Banditos?
Bandas.
Bandas.
Bandas, bandidos.
Bandidos.
It's a weird
what is
word.
Bandido? It's like this?
Bandido. Like, I go for the bank, for the money.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm back. Yeah. My money back. Run to the car.
Dude, you could be a bandido maybe one day, huh? Just for Halloween, maybe.
Come on. Maybe, man. Well, yeah, man, I mean, I forgot what I was saying.
Oh, it's okay, dude. It's podcasting. You can forget.
I know. That's why I love podcasts.
It's good, huh?
Because I'm talking and then another conversation is coming. So I forgot what I say. Yeah, no problem.
We got two more little questions here and then we'll get you out of here, Brandon, man. Here's one that came in.
What's up, Theo? What's up, Brandon? My name's Adrian. I'm from El Paso, Texas.
Nice.
My question is for Brandon. Where do you see the sport of MMA from where it was a couple years ago in Mexico to where it is now all across the country? And what do you think the UFC is doing to advance the sport in not only Mexico, but for all Latinos and all across the Latin countries? Big up to both of you. Congrats on all your accomplishments. You make us very proud, Brandon. Go back and get that belt. on the fourth time around. Gang, gang.
Let's go.
Yeah, what do you think is happening? Is UFC doing stuff in Mexico, you think, to broaden the sport?
UFC has a few projects in Mexico right now. We had like 2 or 3 years where the relation between UFC and Latin America was like not the best. Mm. Because everything started with the first developer program from UFC in Latin America.
Okay.
So they went to Mexico City. And they make a trials for a lot of Latin fighters.
Okay.
Guys from Argentina, guys from Colombia, a lot of different fighters from different countries in Latin America went to Mexico City, and I remember the matchmakers of UFC was there, and they start doing like hitting pads, doing jiu-jitsu rolls with other guys, like showing all the skills. Okay. Right?
The skills of the region.
Exactly. And then UFC picked 12 fighters to go to Albuquerque, New Mexico, to Jackson's MMA.
Yeah.
The UFC was paying everything, like paying the gym, paying the food to 12 fighters to develop the skills of the fighters, right?
And did you have a chance to be in that or no?
So that's the first generation of that development program was... were 12 guys. Then in the first 6 months, they caught 6 guys.
Oh fuck!
Exactly, leave 6 guys there in New Mexico in Albuquerque, and they bring another 6 guys.
And that was you.
And that was me. One of the guys was me. And they
you lived together in a house.
Yeah.
Was it fun or not?
You know, it wasn't a little. No, it was Herman, to be honest.
Oh, because I bet you. And you had bunk bed, too?
Yeah.
Oh, wasn't people snoring, everything.
A little apartment in the gym, living with 12 guys.
Oh, Jesus Cristo.
Like, everybody was like this, like... But, I mean...
Choking
I don't
each
care.
Other, yeah.
I know. But I don't care, man. I was like... I was there to get new knowledge and get better and train with other different people.
So they did that program. Do they still do a lot of programs like that, or is it growing? I'm sure people just seeing you will help it grow.
So that, with those guys from the developer program, they made the first, the ultimate fighter in Latin America.
Okay. Okay.
So everything started from there. From that developer program and that the Ultimate Fighter. They made 2 more seasons and they made 2 more developer programs.
Oh.
So the other developer program was in American Top Team and the last one was in Kings MMA in Los Angeles. Mm. So a lot of guys start to go to UFC. But then something happened. They stopped with the developer programs. They stopped with the Ultimate Fighter. And if you wanted to go to the UFC, it was like, oh, I don't have nothing to show. Because it's not like the matchmaker is going to the Mexican promotions to watch the talent there.
I see, right. So there was no way to really be seen.
Exactly. Oh. So it was hard. But now with the title, I feel like the connection between UFC and Latin America start to work again. So last year, after the title, a lot of guys from Anthem Gym, from a gym in Tijuana, they went to the Contender Series.
Oh, that's cool.
Uh-huh. And actually, my manager was a really huge help for that too. So they fought the Contender Series. Everybody get the contract. And now they are... UFC fighters, man.
Wow.
That's awesome. And then... The next Contender Series is coming, and for sure I know other guys from Entram, from a gym, they are going to the Contender Series. So there's a huge connection. And you know, Entram Gym has a lot of different fighters from different countries. Mm. A lot of guys from Argentina, from Peru, from Ecuador.
And that's in Tijuana?
Are training together in Tijuana, wow. Exactly. So right now, I mean, Entram is the most biggest gym. In Latin America in general, man.
Wow.
So far.
I need to go to Tijuana maybe for vacation, huh?
Man, a lot of food, man. A lot of nightlife.
Balance a lot of discos, huh?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, I love Tijuana, man. It's a nice place.
I gotta go, man. I'm gonna have to get you need down to go there, man. Yeah, man. Maybe I get me a good Mexican wife, huh?
Do you like? Hey, you never know.
I could use it. I need someone to get me going. You know, go do this.
Some fun in your life.
Yeah, I need that. Is it fun having a Mexican wife?
Man, I mean, again, my wife.
Your wife is is kind of American, but she's Mexican.
She's Mexican.
She's Mexican.
She lives all her life in
oh, she's Mexican.
In Mexico. So yeah. So, yeah, it's
yeah,
funny.
I think I would like to branch out and do that, man.
Go there. I mean, if you love tacos, man, you can find good tacos everywhere, man.
Yeah, but what after I have some tacos, I got to do something else, you know?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. You know, but then what? Maybe start a company or something. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe a small company doing what though?
Podcast company.
Marijuana company, you said?
Man, you know the marijuana there in Mexico is
a podcast company, you said. I thought you said pot.
Oh, no, pot. I say podcast, but you want to talk about marijuana? I mean, it's weird in Mexico because it's very close to be legal, man.
It's close to be illegal?
It's very, very close.
Wow.
So a lot of Mexican marijuana companies, or even from the United States, they're just waiting, like when this legal, like they start to all the stores there. So it's funny how all the CBD companies are just waiting to turn like everything company.
Wow. Yeah, it could happen soon, huh? Do you don't smoke drugs? You said no.
No, to be honest, no.
Maybe in the future.
You never know.
Yeah, maybe when you get older. Or no, something. Man, like a grandfather, you're sitting there.
I mean, I'm not interested, man. A lot of people smoke marijuana, and I don't care. I mean, I don't have any problem with the marijuana.
Me neither.
I use a lot of CBD, and sometimes when I'm like very like sore, I smoke CBD sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen
but
that stuff.
But I just feel like I don't need the THC in my life, man.
So yeah.
I don't use it.
Yeah, you're kind of good in the space that you're in. I just have this. Did you, whenever you were growing up, did you guys have any pets at y'all's house or no? I'm just wondering, do a lot of Mexican people have pets or not?
I have just one dog.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm trying to right now, so my friends, I have two friends, two training partners living with me in my house. And they take care of my dog because, I mean, right now I'm like, traveling too much, and before was the training camp, and you know I need to spend time with my family. I need to take care of my daughter, so the pet is a kind of another kid. So I don't have too much time to spend too much time with the dog.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it, man. I mean, I'm trying to do the enough for him to the dog be happy, right?
Is he a happy dog? You think?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Pepe.
Pepe is his name. Oh yeah. Wow.
Pepe. And I don't know if the Mexican culture loves to get pets. I feel like the American culture loves to get pets, man.
Ridiculous.
I have a lot of friends like, oh, I have four dogs in my house. Like, oh my goodness.
I know. I have birds. People have birds, canary, snakes. He have snakes. What else? Some people get everything. Alligators, goats.
You like pets or not?
I like goats.
What is goats?
Goats is like a little bit of like a, it looked like a sheep, but that's been maybe doing drugs, you know, like a goat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I understand. Like a little horn. Yeah, of course. The people has
people
goats?
People have goats, yeah, man. America, wow. Yeah. Yeah, I think we have a lot more pets here in America. I wonder why.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, they had dogs in the street. It wasn't indoor dogs. People just have, a neighborhood have a dog, you know?
Okay.
You just see a dog get bit by the dog. Whose dog? Nobody knows. He's fucking gone, bro. He's a criminal, you know. He just fucking snuck off. You know, he's dangerous, bro. So with the fighting, man, is there any... The only fight you really are going to take is Frigieto, man. That's it.
I mean...
Or fire.
I don't know.
Davidson.
I understand.
Whoever, bro.
I understand.
They keep doing it with the letters.
So... Man, I mean,
it's not another fight you're gonna take, is
man,
there?
I just want to push hard for the 4-1.
Yeah, do it. Of course, I'll watch 7 of them. I don't keep doing it.
I mean, and the thing is that every single fight is so entertaining.
Let's do it.
I mean, he has in the last 3 fights between us, he has two bonus performance bonus,
mm-hmm.
but for fight of the night, I have 3. So every single fight is so
good.
So good. And I think it's the people can watch and they want to watch the 4-1. I know the company won the 4-1. So right now, I'm just like pushing hard for the 4-1. That's it. And obviously, if something happened in the future and they say like, no, you need to fight with another guy, like we'll be like, I will be a little bit mad in that moment. But I mean, I just want to fight.
Right. Yeah. 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 Cool, dude. Well, thank you so much for coming in, man. We wish you the best of luck.
And thank you, man.
Just cool, man. And yeah, if you guys need another person over there in Mexico, let me know, dog. Man,
if you go to Tijuana, talk with me and we can go and eat something good.
Okay.
And we can show you.
Give me a novia.
Una novia. Do you want a novia?
Posible.
Huge novia, little novia.
Maybe mismo.
Okay.
Or what does that mean, mismo? Middle?
In the middle?
In the middle, yeah. Okay. Maybe something.
It's fine.
Just bonita y possibly carne asada.
You want a girlfriend with carne asada on top?
Oh, yeah, there we go. Maybe. I mean, I want her to be cooked, good cook. Yeah. A good chef and big hugs, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Pretty nice hair, too.
Nice hair. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. Yes, just talk with me and we can go to Tijuana, eat tacos, put carne asada on the girls.
Yeah. Meeting up these ladies, baby. Meeting up these ladies. Brandon Moreno, man, thanks so much for your time, brother.
Thank you, bro. Thank you so much for the space, man. Thank you. This is awesome, man.
Congratulations on all your success. And man,
thank you.
I can easily see why people that people love you. And I hope your life's filled with as many successes as you want.
Oh, thank you, man. I mean, the job is not finished yet, but thank you so much.
Yeah, amen.
Now I'm just floating on the breeze, and I feel I'm falling like these leaves. I must be cornerstone. Oh, but when I reach that ground, I'll share this peace of mind I found. I can feel it in my bones, but it's gonna take a little time for me to set that parking brake and let myself unwind. Shine that light on me. I'll sit and tell you my stories. Shine on me, and I will find a song. I will sing it just for you. On a runaway train with a heavy load of my past, and these rails that I've been riding on, they're worn so thin that they're damn near gone. I guess now they just weren't built to
last. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jonathan Kite, and welcome to Kite Club, a podcast where I'll be sharing thoughts on things like current events, stand-up stories, and 7 ways to pleasure your partner. The answer may shock you. Sometimes I'll interview my friends, sometimes I won't. And as always, I'll be joined by the voices in my head.
You have 3 new voice messages.
A lot of people are talking about Kite Club. I've been talking about Kite Club for so long, longer than anybody else. So great.
Hey, sweetheart, here's the deal. Anyone who doesn't listen to Kite Club is a dodgy bloody wanker. Do you know what I mean?
Hi, I'll take a quarter pounder with cheese and a McFlurry.
Sorry, sir, but our ice cream machine is broken.
No!
I think Tom Hanks just butt-dialed me.
Anyway, first rule of Kite Club is tell everyone about Kite Club. Second rule of Kite Club is tell everyone about Kite Club. Third rule, like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or watch us on YouTube, yeah?
And yes, don't worry, my Brad Pitt impression will get better.